Amen. John chapter 11, and to just want to thank the deacons and trustees and officials and deaconesses with their white on too. See, I look like y'all this morning. I couldn't put no hat on or nothing, but I tried to look like you. Amen. I thank the sound crew and the camera people and everybody. Amen. Periscope, everybody. Thank all of y'all, amen, just for being here. John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. And it reads, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Lord, thank you for this day and your power. Please reduce me and increase you. Bring a word through me like only you can. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. As you take your seats, I want to speak to you from the subject, the Tomb Raider. The Tomb Raider. For nearly 30 years, the one who had crafted the universe with his voice, crafted furniture with his hands. And he was good at what he did. No crooked table legs ever came out of the carpenter shop in Nazareth. But Jesus was more than a master carpenter. He was also God incognito. His miraculous powers ranked as history's best kept secret for nearly three decades, but all that changed the day water blushed in the face of its creator. That was the day when the woodbender became the waterbender. Jesus manipulated the molecular structure of water and turned it into wine. And nothing but the best, that is, just the finest wine. Now, don't get too happy over there, Trustee Reynolds. 34 distinct miracles are recorded in the Gospels. While countless more went unrecorded, John's Gospel spotlights seven miracles, unveiling seven dimensions of Jesus' miraculous power. In John chapter 2, miracles begin with Jesus turning water into wine. In John chapter 4, Jesus heals a nobleman's son long distance, revealing his lordship over latitude and longitude. Then in John chapter 5, he reveals his mastery over chronology, reversing 38 years of pain and suffering with one command. In John chapter 6, Jesus feeds 5,000 with five loaves and two fish. In God's kingdom, 5 + 2 = 7. His anchor is strolling across the waves on the Sea of Galilee. In John chapter 9, there is more to the miracle than meets the eye. Jesus doesn't just heal the blind man's eye. He hardwires the blind man's brain by creating synaptic pathway between his optic nerve and visual cortex. And just when you think you've seen it all, the Tomb Raider turns the tomb into a waiting room. Lazarus is 4 days dead when Jesus calls him out. That miracle foreshadows his own death and resurrection. The seven miracles in John's gospel are seven signs, and each sign points straightway to Jesus. So let me offer a word of caution. Don't seek miracles, seek Jesus. See, you know what I'm saying? See, don't seek his hand, seek his face, because when you seek his face, you can have everything in his hand. And if you just follow Jesus long enough and far enough, eventually you'll find yourself in the midst of some miracles. See, everyone wants a miracle, but here's the catch. No one wants to be in a situation that necessitates one. See, you didn't know that. See, you got to be in a problem. You got to have a query. You got to have some type of challenge. You got to have some type of obstacle. You have to have something to overcome if you're going to have a miracle. Everybody wants a miracle, but they don't want to be in the midst of nothing that needs a miracle. The people in the party, the bride and the groom, had a problem, but they didn't understand it was just a setup so God could show out. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. What in your life is going wrong right now that God is just setting your life up for a comeback? I don't, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. He's gone. He has nothing. He changed water into wine. He healed a man born blind. He walked on water. He is the God who can make your impossible possible. Oh, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to preach this morning when I began to look at the health care and the repeal, not worrying about myself, but worrying about those who are disenfranchised. And I was wondering, what should I preach on? Because I looked at it, and especially when I looked at the clause in Congress, that even though the same people that voted to repeal it, they can actually keep it if they want it. Come on, somebody. And I was like, how in the world can I preach to my people? What can I say? But then God said, all you got to do is preach about me, because I can make the impossible possible. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care who the president is. I don't care what your challenge is. I don't care how much money you don't have. I don't care what you're doing without. He said, I can do whatever I want to do. He said, if I just wave my hand, I can change your life in an instant. He said, it don't matter what you do. Stop trying to get all deep and philosophical. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I don't care what you're going through. Are you worried about your school grades? Are you worried about your wife and your husband? What are you worried about? If you just lift me up. I can do anything I want to do. The church has lost its power because we don't understand the power is in the cross. The power is in the cross, the old rugged cross. He died and bled for the remission of our sins and rose up and killed death. Come on, somebody. You got to be a bad man to kill death itself. Put death in the grave and say, no, you can't mess with my people anymore. And if I can overcome death, if death can't stop me, I ain't worried about Donald Trump. If death can't stop me, I ain't worried about gas prices. If death can't stop me, I'm not worried about any furlough. If death can't stop me, what in the world are you worried about? Jesus is the answer. One of the earliest movies that I like is that 1978 Superman movie. You know, Superman was flying around trying to take care up the Hoover Dam, and he was flying around with the earthquake, and all of a sudden a crack in the ground, a crevice opened up and swallowed up Lois Lane. Yeah. You know, the lady he loved but didn't quite commit to, you know, but he was in love with her. And when she died, Superman got upset and flew around the world, going in the opposite direction of the rotation, turning back, flying in supersonic speed, turning the world back around on its axis. Now, I know the science is suspect, especially since the Earth spins 18 and a half miles every 2 seconds, or 1,000 miles per hour. That's how fast. And if Superman turned the world around, he might would have saved Lois Lane, but all of us would have had a whiplash. But in the end of the day, don't you wish sometimes you could turn back the hands of time? But you can't turn back the hands of time. You can't undo a bad haircut. You can't undo running a red light. And there's some things that you can never undo that may be small, but some things are big that you can't undo. But I understand this, but it don't matter how much I mess up. It don't matter how many things I do that are irreversible in my natural mind. My God has sent his son to redeem me. And although I'm messed up in sin, as long as I believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life, I'll be all right. I know I'm messing. Don't let nobody make you feel bad when you mess up and you say, you call yourself a Christian. Yeah, I call myself a Christian. I got to go back to Donna McClurk and back in the 90s and say, baby, a saint ain't nothing but a sinner that fell down, but I had enough sense to get back up again. Y'all better hear me right now.
Yeah, I'm a preacher. But you catch me in the wrong day, I might tell you to go somewhere besides heaven. If you get on my nerves. I'm keeping it real. I'm human like everybody else, and people want to always try pastor. But see, I'm a 2000 pastor. I can't take but so much. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying, but I'm so glad that on one Friday evening, my Jesus walked up the way of Villa Dolorosa, walked up the way of suffering, put nails in his hand to bring to fruition a soteriological dispensation that if there was no shed in the blood, there'd be no remission of sin. Yo, that I was a sinner, he still saved me. Oh, I'm trying to talk to somebody that's been through some stuff. If you been on the receiving end of the voice papers and answered a frantic phone call in the middle of the night, or gotten lab results from the doctor that affirm your worst fears, you know the feeling all too well. It's like your life is over, but it's not over until God says it's over. I don't care how many fat ladies sing, baby, your life ain't over until God says it's over. When Jesus walked out the tomb, the word impossible was removed from the vocabulary of a Christian, and his resurrection isn't something we celebrate one day out of the year on Easter Sunday. It's something we celebrate every day in every way. The seventh miracle revealed his true identity, the full identity of Jesus. He's not just the winemaker or the water walker. As impressive as those miracles are, he's the tomb raider. And he saves his boldest claim for last. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. It's that unique claim which sets Jesus apart and puts him in a category by himself, the Son of God. See, Christianity is not built on the foundation of philosophy or a code of ethics. The footer of our faith is one fundamental fact, the empty tomb. After cheating death by calling Lazarus out the tomb, Jesus walked out of his own tomb under his own power. That's the ultimate apologetic. There is no argument against that. Come on, somebody. If the resurrection didn't happen, Sister Harris, Christianity ranks as history's cruelest practical joke. We're not just wasting our lives worshiping him. We're living a lie. But if Jesus walked out of the tomb 2,000 years ago, all bets are off. Or should I say all bets are on Jesus? In an interview with Rolling Stone magazine, U2 frontman Bono was asked his opinion on Jesus about this question. They said, Christ has ranked among the world's greatest thinkers. But the Son of God isn't that far-fetched. The lead singer of U2 and global crusader against poverty responded, no, it's not far-fetched to me. Look, the secular response to the Christ story always goes like this. He was a great prophet who had a lot to say along the lines of other great prophets, be that Elijah, Muhammad, or Buddha, or Confucius, but actually Christ doesn't allow you to do that. He doesn't let you off the hook. Christ says, no, I'm not saying I'm a teacher. Don't call me a teacher. I'm not saying I'm a prophet. I'm saying I'm the Messiah. I'm saying I am God incarnate. And people say, no, please just be a prophet. A prophet we can take. So what you're left with is either Christ was who he said he was, the Messiah, or a complete nutcase. See, I don't understand how people can call Jesus a prophet and don't believe he's the Son of God. Come on, somebody. You might believe I'm a preacher, you may not, but if I get up here and say I'm the Son of God, I'm going to be fired. I'll be like, yeah, his sermon might make sense. It might sound good, but that joke is crazy. If you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, don't call him a prophet, because that ain't what he called himself. Remember when the young ruler came up to him and said, good teacher, and Jesus got shady on him? It sounded like he was talking about him good, Sister Payton, because he said, good teacher. But Jesus saw it, because you know how you can look between the shade when somebody's talking about you? Come on, somebody. You know how you can tell when somebody's smiling at you, they really don't like you? And they really just throwing shade at you in their own way. Jesus said, "Who? Nobody's good but God. Don't be trying to reduce me down to teacher, baby, because I'm God incarnate. I'm the Godhead enrobed in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I'm the Word that became flesh and dwelt among you, baby. Don't you reduce me down." That's a lesson from Jesus. Let me talk to you. Let me give you a little sidebar conversation. Don't you let nobody reduce you down lower than who you really are. Don't you let nobody take you down. Don't you let nobody. God gonna already humble you enough. You don't need anybody else to help you. You don't need anybody to put you down, call you out your name, and try to tell you what you're not gonna be. If somebody tell you what you're not gonna be. See, people tell me you a wannabe. I'm a wannabe that's gonna be, baby. Don't you come talking to me about what I can't be. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, baby. While most people have no issue accepting Jesus as a compassionate healer or wise teacher or even a religious prophet, that isn't who he alleged to be. Man, hurry up and open that candy. He claimed to be the Son of God. Just open it fast. The people trying to open it all slow. Just open it fast. It'll make less noise. And C.S. Lewis famously observed, "Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or in fact who he claimed to be, the Lord. There's no middle ground. Either Jesus is Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. So which is it? That one decision will determine your eternal destiny. It will also make the impossible possible." After asserting his identity as the resurrection and the life, Jesus popped the point blank question that punctuated Martha's life. "Do you believe this?" Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Remember that Lazarus hadn't walked out of the tomb just yet, yet Martha responded with a simple profession of faith. "Yes, Lord." Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. One little yes can change your life. One little yes can change your eternity. The litmus test is the same now as it was then. The only question on God's final exam is, do you believe this? It's not multiple choice. It's not true or false. It's not fill in the blank. It's not matching. It's the most important question you will ever answer. All you need to do to tell him on the judgment day, do you believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and died for the remission of your sin? And what I love about God, he give you an open book test. If you look in Romans 10 and 9, he said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He gave you the answer. He gave you the answer to a one question test. I don't know how people flunk. I don't know how they get a bad grade on an exam and get thrown into eternal damnation. I know it ain't popular to preach about hell in church no more, but it is one and I don't want you to go. Now, I know you might be my friend, but I'm not going to come visit you. I'm not bringing you no milk and cookies, baby. I'm just going to tell you right now, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior so you can be walking on the streets of gold with me. Even Trustee Johnson going to be in heaven. He know Jesus. That's a miracle within itself. Now, I told y'all I'd get you back, but anyway. Oh, that was an evil smile he gave me, Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the axis around which our faith revolves. When Jesus rose from the dead, it radically redefined reality. The resurrection is the history changer, the game changer. But the trick is learning to live as if Jesus was crucified yesterday, rose on today, and coming back tomorrow. See, you got to understand that. See, you got to live like today is your last day. Some people thought they was going to wake up this morning and didn't wake up. Some people thought they was going to get up out of their bed and didn't get up. Some of us may not make it through the day. See, I know y'all get mad at me because I'm always running. I'm always working. I'm always pulling something. I'm always trying to do something. Baby, I'm wired like that because when I die, I want God to say, well, done, my good and faithful servant. I may die right now in the pulpit. I don't know when I'm going to die. So when I die, baby, I'm going to go out as a fighting soldier doing what my God has made me to do. I may not make it to tomorrow. I ain't going to never slow down. It ain't how I'm wired. Because I understand that Jesus said, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. You don't know when he coming. A thief ain't called you and sent you a text message. I'm going to break into your house about 11:30 p.m. Be ready. If you don't want to see me, just go outside somewhere and I'll just rob you and so I won't hurt you. They don't give you no alert. Jesus saying, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. Somebody going to be in the field and they're going to get raptured up and somebody going to be left behind. Some people are going to be in church and people are going to get raptured up. You got to be ready for the day you meet your maker. And baby, if it's today, are you ready? Oh. But the trick, the resurrection is something we celebrate once a year by buying new outfits on Easter. It's something we celebrate every day in every way. The resurrection of dead bodies is nothing short of miraculous. And the rematerialization of dead bodies when Christ returned is going to be must-see TV. But the resurrection miracles don't stop there. God raises dreams from the dead. He resurrects dead relationships. And no matter what part of your personality has died at the hands of sin, suffering, or Satan himself, the tomb raider came to give your life back. What did the devil try to take from you? Nobody laughed on the crucifixion. Nobody laughed the day that Jesus was on the cross. But when he walked out the tomb, nobody could stop laughing. Nobody could stop rejoicing. The tomb raider steals back everything the enemy has stolen. Then he gives it back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. What did Satan took from you, baby? I know I said I wasn't going to talk about it, but I got to talk about it right now. What is the devil taking from you if you just walk with Jesus long enough? If you just walk with Jesus long enough and diligently enough, he will give you back what the devil took from you. You need to have a little talk with Jesus and tell him all about your problem. He will hear you by and by. When you feel a little fire burning and you hear a little talk with Jesus. I was frustrated. I didn't know what to preach, but he said, just lift me up, preacher. I didn't know what to bring you comfort, but he said, if I just be lifted up. When Jesus died on the cross, Satan smirked and laughed. But then he realized that, oh no, if he go to the cross and I break the law on him, everybody can be saved through him. He rose up in Peter and said, don't go to the cross. But Jesus said, get ye behind me, Satan. I don't care how mad the nails are hurt. I don't care how much the crown of thorns are hurt. I'm going to be lifted up and draw all men unto me so that nobody would need to perish but have everlasting life. Hey, I'm not going to give you a soul. Aren't you glad you got a Jesus that gave you a second chance? In fact, aren't you glad you got a Jesus that gave you a third and fourth and fifth chance? Ain't you glad that even though you thought it was your last chance, God gave you another chance? I'm telling you right now, can I talk to some liars? He gave you another chance. Can I talk to some whoremongers? He gave you another chance. Can I talk to some backstabbers? He gave you another chance. He'll give your smile back. He'll give your laugh back. He'll give your life back. He'll give your job back. He'll give your blessings back. He'll give your health back. He'll give your healing back. He'll give your children back. He will give you whatever you need. Whatever you need him to be. He will. I just got to answer this one question. Do you believe what I ask you? Do you believe this? Do you believe that he died on Friday? Stayed in the grave all night Friday. Do you believe he stayed in the grave all day Saturday and all night excited, but do you believe it? Early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. He'll heal you. He'll deliver you. He'll sanctify you. He'll bless you. He'll deliver you. If you just can believe that he is the resurrection, the truth, and the life. Do you believe it? Well, you will be saved. All you got to do is lift up Jesus. You don't need to know Bonhoeffer and Tillich. You just need to know Jesus. You don't need to know Aristotle or Freud. You just need to know Jesus. Confucius can't do it. Elijah can't do it. Muhammad can't do it. Come on, somebody. Moses can do it. Abraham can do it. Jacob can do it. Samson can do it. But God said, I know you can't do it. I'm going to walk down 40 in two generations and robe myself in the flesh, empty out my majesty, empty out my glory, empty out my omnipotence and my omniscience. I'm going to come out Emmanuel. God is with us. Walk with you and talk with you and teach you what to do. And then I'm going to put myself on the line. I know you go to hell without me. I know you go to hell without me. But because you can't do it, I love you so much, I'm going to come down there and do it myself. That's how much he loves you. He loves you so much that he knew you couldn't do it. He loved you so much. He knew you can do it. He know your kids can't do it. Just keep praying. Just keep covering them. Believe me, I'm a product of prayer. Because if I would have died at Georgia Southern, oh, help me, Lord. He redeemed you. He redeemed you. See, the problem is you trying to be redeemed. He was crucified before the foundation of the earth. See, let me tell you something. See, you keep dealing with chronology, chronos time. God doesn't deal with chronos time. He deals with kairos time. God doesn't deal with linear time and space. He's interstellar. He goes from one dimension to the next. He sees you when you're being born right now. He saw you before he even made you. Before you was in your mother's womb, he already knew who you were. He already knew you was going to be at church today or whether you're going to be listening on Periscope. He already knew what you was going to be. He know how many hairs in your head. He know which hair follicle fell out. That's 2,555 and now 200. You know what I'm saying? He knows each hair follicle on your head, the number of times it is. He knows where your hair ends and your extension begins. He knows. He knows. Everything about you. He loves you so much. That's how much he loves you. He knows the mistakes you're gonna make. Yet he still calls you to be what he called you to be. He knows your past, yet he still calls you for your present and future. God doesn't care about your past. He's not redeeming you. You're already redeemed.